Welcome to the Let's Talk Energy podcast from EnergyNet. This series was recorded at the Africa Energy Forum 2023 in Nairobi, Kenya. Join us for this and other episodes as we talk to the industry players, stakeholders, and rising stars of Africa's energy sector.
Yeah, hello. I'm Tony Chiyo, CEO of Renewables in Africa. What we do is simply raising awareness about renewables energy in Africa and across the world.
Solomon Jonjo, co-CEO, Serengeti Energy. We are developing renewable energy projects in sub-Saharan Africa.
Okay, Solomon, so it's a pleasure to see you here. So you are the co-CEO of Serengeti. I just wanted to start by asking you a question. So co-CEO, that's quite rare to see that. That means there are two CEOs. Yes. So why such a, configuration, and is it proper, good for decision making?
Yes, it's a good question. I mean, if you look at our company, we are a company that is looking at developing renewable energy infrastructure across sub-Saharan Africa. And if you look at the development process, we are involved in the entire value chain, that is from development, construction, operations. And so the market is quite big. There's a lot of work to be done. So how the business has been structured is to have one CEO who's in charge of development and construction. Then once the project reaches commercial operation date, the project goes over to operation side. So there's sort of a handshake from development side, or what we call the growth side, and then the business goes to operations. It's as you said, it's not common, but it's one way of making sure at least we are able to share responsibilities across the business, and the fact that our business, you can be able to segment the different section of the business. Mm. It is working well, there are no issues, and you know, we look forward to delivering on our mandate as far as renewable energy is concerned in Africa.
Excellent. Well, if it works well for you, so that's absolutely perfect for me as well. Yes. So can you tell us more about the key project you're working on at the moment?
Yes. So as I said, we are looking at developing in renewable energy infrastructure. We want to become a long-term independent power producers. So the idea is to develop these assets. We'll sign long-term contracts with utilities or off-takers, and then we run during the contract durations. So at the moment, we have 8 operating power plants in 4 different countries. And hopefully by the end of this month, we should add the 9th power plant and having operations in 5 countries. Currently, we have 3 operating hydros in Uganda. We have 3 operating hydropower plants in South Africa. We have 1 solar power plant in Sierra Leone. We have 1 hydro in Rwanda. And the project we're about to commission is a solar power project in Malawi. The mandate we have is to develop a critical mass of this project. The target we are looking at is having at least 300 megawatts by 2029. We also have other markets we are looking at. We have projects in different phases. We are active in Benin. We are in Cote d'Ivoire. We are in Guinea-Conakry. We are looking at something in Mozambique. We are looking at something in Zambia, where we have a very advanced project, which we are hoping to start construction by the end of this year. And so we are continuously looking for opportunities to invest in as far as renewable energy is concerned. As you can see at the moment, the bulk of our pipeline is between small hydros and solar projects. So the mandate from our investors is to look at anything up to 50 megawatts.
Okay, yes. That's fine. Yeah. And I noticed you actually operate in 5 countries, 5 territories at the moment.
Yes.
But you definitely mentioned some more countries there. So what is the target there? So are you planning to tap into the whole of sub-Saharan Africa?
Yes. So when the company was set up in 2013, our shareholders, over and above looking at a return requirement, they are also impact investors. And so if you look at some of these small to medium-sized renewable energy projects, you find them in undeveloped parts of Africa. And so the idea is to have several of them in different locations. So whereas we spur sort of sustainable economic development in those areas, we are also able to provide clean renewable energy. The mandate we have is to look at all countries in sub-Saharan Africa. And so as we proceed, as we go by, for example, during this AEF week, we are discussing with potential investors, potential developers, to see how we can leverage, how we as a company, we can come in and help in developing this agenda where we transition to renewable energy. So to answer your question, yes, the mandate is to look at all countries in sub-Saharan Africa.
Okay, that's fine. And what are the key challenges that you see in those markets that are not mature enough?
The key challenge is of course, I mean, everything has two sides. There is a supply side and there is a demand side. At the moment, there's a lot of pressure from governments, from consumers, to sort of lower the tariffs as far as, you know, costs are concerned, which we understand. But at the same time, on the supply side, we're talking about rising interest rates, rising the cost of equipment. So there are constraints from both perspectives. What we are trying to do is to have a sustainable level where price is sustainable from, you know, from a supply side and also for a consumption side. The key thing still remains, you know, getting a bankable project where you're able to raise project finance and you know, all the risks and rewards are appropriately rewarded. Our investors are DFIs. They obviously want to make a return. But at the same time, we need to have a level of, you know, proper allocation of risks that to ensure that once we commit the investment, then there's a system and there's an arrangement in place to make sure at least the investors can repatriate sort of their investment. Mm. So the key challenge right now, like I said, is that, you know, global prices are going up, cost of equipment is going up, there are foreign exchange constraints in most emerging markets, government are struggling with sort of raising sort of funds for investment. And so always finding that right balance where, you know, we as an investor are comfortable remains the key challenge. There are vast opportunities in Africa, but it's just a question of seeing how it works out. Our key off-taker in these projects mostly is government utilities. And so to make sure that they are bankable, that they can attract that private capital, remains one of the significant risks that we have. Like I mentioned earlier, also the fact that equipment cost is going up, interest rate for borrowings are going up, foreign exchange is not available in most of our markets. Those are making the challenge in terms of, you know, advancing the agenda in transition into renewable energy.
Okay. I noticed you haven't mentioned actually sourcing the project. So does it mean that, because that seems to be a big challenge for all the developers, does it mean that you find the secret sauce there, the secret service?
I think the African continent is blessed with vast resources, be it from a solar perspective, be it hydro resources, or be it wind opportunities. The question is, you know, making a bankable project. And most countries that we operate in, they have set up policies that enable investment in small projects. Like, for example, in Kenya, we have the feed-in tariff policy, where the government already has told you exactly how much you expect to get paid if you find this project. If you look at, I mean, for example, from a solar perspective, we have 12 hours day, 12 hours night. So designing a solar project is not that complicated. So the resources are there. The opportunities are there. There's a huge demand of electricity in sub-Saharan Africa. More than 600 million in sub-Saharan Africa don't have access to electricity. And so from a business perspective, the opportunities are there. The question is, how do you make it work? How do you package it that it makes sense from an investment perspective and also from a government side? So it's not a challenge finding the right resources. It's just a question of balancing in terms of, you know, making sure that once you package this deal, then there is a benefit from all the stakeholders.
Okay. And I remember actually listening to the interview of your CEO, the previous CEO, before you guys came in on top of the company. He was talking about the company wanting to add 1 to 2 new plants every year,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think one of those plants is Sierra Leone that you mentioned, the 5 megawatts.
Yes.
But there is one actually happening, 21 megawatt in Malawi. Yeah. So what is the update there?
So, yes, like I mentioned, the target is to have 300 megawatts into operation by 2029. So if you look at where we are and also looking at the success and failure rate of these projects, then you can see where the number of 2 to 3 projects coming from. However, project development is not linear. For example, 1 year you can go without a project, then the second year you do 3-4 projects. But at least having that sort of benchmark keeps us honest in terms of tracking how we are progressing. But like I said, the key challenge is most of our counterpart is the government. They are constrained in terms of how fast they can move and things do change. But the idea of having 2 to 3 is just to make sure at least we are tracking our progress. And then remember again, you can do one project for 10 megawatts, you can do one project for 30 megawatts. So from a capacity perspective, you are still achieving the target. But development is not a linear exercise. Anything is possible to change. you are not in control of certain decision as far as development is concerned. But having that target helps us sort of track how things are progressing. If you look at 2022, we closed on two projects. Sierra Leone, the 5 megawatts came online, and also a hydro project in Uganda came online in 2022. This year, we are looking at 21 megawatts in Malawi, and soon to start a construction project in South Africa, 4.5 megawatts, and hopefully phase two of the Sierra Leone project.
Okay. The South African project and also the Uganda, are they your latest investment in hydropower?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are the latest one. Okay. So in Uganda, in March of 2022, we commissioned a 7.8 megawatts hydro project. And then Sierra Leone was officially commissioned in October of 2022. We are at the final stages of negotiating the documents for the South African projects. It's a 5 megawatts project, which we expect to start construction in July this year.
Okay, yes. That's absolutely fine. And I think a lot of people are talking about mining and critical materials, because we know that is key to achieve the energy transition, right? So where do you stand as a company in this area? Are you doing something for it? Are you not interested? Where are you for that?
Like I said, one of the key objectives we have is to supply, you know, clean energy in our markets. We have seen a lot of interest from mining companies looking to engage developers in terms of them developing sort of renewable energy infrastructure for their mining activities. There's a lot of interest in terms of, for example, setting up solar power plants close to where we have these mining facilities. And the good thing with mining is that, you know, they ensure most mining activities result in these minerals being exported outside the countries. And so they ensure there's flow of foreign currency. So they do help in stabilizing from that perspective. So we are keen to have those discussions as far as mining is concerned. However, we are very conscious as far as environment is concerned. We want to make sure that any investment we do or any counterparty we do, they're sort of, you know, related or aligned in terms of, you know, conserving the environment. And we will be very hesitant to engage in any engagement with a party that we feel is, you know, polluting or harming the environment that we operate in.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
The continent of Africa is a continent that is growing, you know, population is booming. So from your perspective, what are you expecting that will happen between now and, we'll say, 2050? So how do you see scenario planning?
Obviously, with growth in population means that the market is growing, means that we need to be prepared to make sure we provide the required resources. With growth in population means that there is big demand in energy. So as a company, we are positioning ourselves by looking at multiple projects, multiple investment in different countries to make sure at least we contribute towards that. Like I mentioned, even in the markets we operate, we do have sort of CSR activities that we aim working closely with communities. We are looking at partnering with the community and understanding exactly, as a company, how can we help? Over and above providing employment, providing renewable energy, every year we set aside a percentage of our revenue that goes towards CSR to see how can we help in developing those communities. We recently launched a water project in Uganda. We have been working with communities in Uganda that involve planting trees, which, you know, help in mitigation in terms of climate change, but also protecting the catchment areas as far as water is concerned. So we do expect that with rise in population, there will be rise in demand as far as energy is concerned. And so we need to be there and we need to be prepared to sort of provide this clean, sustainable energy.
Okay. I think pushing a little bit further into that, there was a report that was released by McKinsey very recently saying that by 2050, the continent should be adding something like more than 800 million people, right? So into obviously into our land, which is significant, right? It's huge. So if we do the math, right, definitely we're looking at, if we need to provide electricity to all those people, it's about 40 million, more or less, that needs to be achieved every day. Not every day, every year, essentially. And I was actually wondering, so what would it take to actually 10x your current vision of having 300 megawatts? Because I would like to think, so ambitious company like yourself should be thinking about in terms of gigawatts as opposed to megawatts. Because with the 300 megawatts, that will electrify about, if I'm correct, something about 2 million people, 20 million people, roughly. So I think, but we need 40 million every year. So isn't it time for you maybe to 10x it? What would it take? That's the question. As the CEO of the company, what would it take to 10x your vision?
Everyone has sort of their sweet spot. There is what works for different people. There are so many investments going on in the renewable energy side. If you look at countries like Tanzania, if you look at Ethiopia, they're in a position to do mega dam and huge projects. So there are players who are looking at the bigger side of things. Like I mentioned earlier, over and above making a return, we are looking at making impact in our investment. And if you look at these renewable energy resources, like small hydros, you find them in very remote, undeveloped areas. That is what we want to focus on, is that, you know, we make an impact in terms of where we invest. In addition to ourselves, we have other players in the sector who are looking at this space. But I guess a question of everyone choosing an area where they are comfortable and where they can make a real change. It wouldn't make sense for us to have very big, ambitious project, then at the end of the period, you have achieved nothing. It's better to have these smaller projects which you can track progress on. And then when we look back, you can see we've done it, right? There are mega projects. There are stories of big projects which have been going on in Africa. But to date, they've taken 10, 15 years and nothing has happened. So it's better to look at somewhere where you are comfortable, where you can be able to get the funding from, where you have expertise, and then specialize on that.
Okay. So AEFGCA is celebrating 25th anniversary, and it's very good to see them back into the continent, right? So for the next 25 years, so how do you see the future? So where do you want all of us to be?
You raise a very good point. I think this is the first time that AEF is being held in mainland Africa. The first time it was Mauritius. But since its inception in 1999, this is the first time it's been held in mainland continent, and I think it's about time. This is where the opportunities are. If you look at the gathering today, we have people from all over the world. You have financiers, you have government bodies, you have developers, and it is very nice when they meet where the action is actually happening. So we do look forward to having more of these AEF conferences being held in Africa. Because again, the idea is to discuss the energy forum in Africa. So this was a very good move. I did attend the last one in Brussels. And if you look at the turnout here has been quite big. So which means there is interest. And so having it closer to where the action is happening means you can get more participation. You have got more networking opportunities. And therefore, you can make a very big difference.
Mr. Solomon, that was a pleasure to talk to you, and I wish you a very fantastic and wonderful conference. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much.
This series was recorded at the Africa Energy Forum 2023 in Nairobi, Kenya. Join us for this and other episodes as we talk to the industry players, stakeholders, and rising stars of Africa's energy sector.